This morning, our Bible reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 56, which can be found on page 856 of the Church Bibles. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home.
Well, good afternoon. Thanks to everyone who has been involved in the service up until this point. And just in case we haven't met yet, my name is Graham, and I'm one of the Ministry Associates training here at Chalmers. Please do come and say hello at the end of the service, or if you have any questions off the back of anything that's said this morning, please do come and find me and ask away. When I appeared in the recent Christmas Big Afternoon video, Benji had helpfully added some subtitles for me. I think probably to help you to understand the Glaswegian in your midst. Unfortunately, there's no subtitles this morning, but there is a translation app available, and there's a code for that on the screen. I'm not actually sure if it does Glaswegian to comprehensible English, but it's got to be worth a try. More seriously though, the translation app is available for anyone who would like to make use for it, particularly if English isn't your first language, then hopefully it will be quite helpful. This morning we're continuing on our work through Luke's Gospel and through the Advent account in Luke's Gospel. And as we work through Luke's account of the announcements of the births of Jesus and John the Baptist. Last Sunday morning, Rog began by opening up Luke 1, 1 to 25, where we saw Luke tell us the purpose of his gospel account and the miraculous pregnancy of Zechariah and Elizabeth that would lead to the birth of John the Baptist. Then on Sunday night, Andrew opened up for us Luke 1, 26 to 38, where we saw another announcement of another miraculous pregnancy, in which the Virgin Mary was told she would conceive and bear a son, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. So last week was a big week for miraculous pregnancies. This week we're going to see Mary visit Elizabeth, and three separate responses of delight to God's announcement of Mary's miraculous pregnancy. Before we do that, though, let me lead us in prayer. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, as we turn to open up your word, we ask for your help this morning. We come into this room in different places, having had very different weeks this week. Lord, there are some who have had weeks full of joy, and others for whom the last week has been full of struggle, heartache, or loss. Lord, no matter what kind of week we have had, as we turn to your word, we ask that you would speak to us. Be very good to us, Lord. settle our hearts and help us to lift our eyes to the joy, delight, and hope that is to be found in this Advent season. Lord, lift our eyes to the beauty of your Son, to the hope of your gospel. Help us to delight in you and make us more like Christ. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wonder what your feelings are around the Advent season and around Christmas celebrations. For some, Christmas really brings out the Scrooge in us. We hate the music, the films, the gift buying, the gift giving, the gift getting, the turkey, and don't even get me started on the paper crowns. We probably all know someone like that who just struggles to engage with the joy of the season for whatever reason. And so they're just a bit miserable and just can't find any joy in Christmas. They're the kind of person you really hope you don't get for Secret Santa, because even if you gave them the perfect gift, they would still complain about the wrapping. For others, though, Christmas is actually a particularly difficult time of year. For those who have suffered family breakups, or those mourning the death of a loved one, or those struggling with loneliness, Christmas is a time that just reminds us of empty chairs at the dinner table and very real pain, loss, and hurt. For some, this Christmas is going to be particularly difficult, and it's going to be hard, if not impossible, to engage with the joy of the season. There's something so difficult about a season that is supposed to be filled with joy, and yet joy and hope could not feel further away. Through our passage this morning, Luke will speak to both of those situations as we will see what is our source of joy, hope, and delight. In our passage this morning, we're going to see three escalating responses of delight to what God is doing. And we'll unpack those with the help of two headings. Firstly, we'll think about two Holy Spirit-inspired responses of delight, verses 39 to 45. And then we'll dwell on the extended response of Mary under the heading Mary's Response of Delight, verses 46 to 56. And those are on the sheets that you should have been given as you came in the door. So firstly then, two Holy Spirit-inspired responses of delight, verses 39 to 45. The first response that we're told about to Mary's voice is from a really surprising source. In verse 41 and again in verse 44, we're told that John the Baptist leaped for joy at the sound of Mary's voice. What is quite incredible is that even in his mother's womb, this baby, yet to see the world, yet to draw a single breath, rejoiced at the proximity of his Saviour. Motivated by the Holy Spirit, this unborn baby was rejoicing at the presence of his Saviour. We know this is a Holy Spirit-inspired response because of Luke 1, verse 15, where we are told that John the Baptist will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Luke mentions the response of John the Baptist twice in our passage, because I think he really wants to highlight that John is delighted at the proximity of his Saviour, even from his mother's womb. But I also think that Luke is beginning to show us that there is a second child coming, namely Jesus, who will be greater than John the Baptist. John is leaping in delight because a child has been promised who, as we saw last week, will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. That's verse 32. This is the child that John will go before. This is the one that John will point to. This is the one of whom John will say that John is not worthy to stoop and untie his sandals. Chapter 3, verse 16. And so, actually, this is the first time that John the Baptist will point to the significance of Jesus as John leaped for joy as an unborn child in his mother's womb. The second Holy Spirit-inspired response we see is that of Elizabeth in verses 42 to 45. Let me just reread that for us, but I'll read from the end of verse 41. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Again, the first thing for us to spot here is that this is a Holy Spirit-inspired response of delight. Elizabeth is not just overjoyed because she's happy for her relative, but the key to her delight is found in what she says in verses 43 and 45. I want to take verse 45 first, because I think 43 is an example of her doing what she says in 45. So verse 45 reads, "Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Now you might read that and think that Elizabeth is applying that just to Mary, essentially saying, "Blessed are you, Mary, because you believed what was spoken to you from the Lord." But it's striking that that's not actually what Elizabeth says. Whilst it is true that Elizabeth is saying that Mary is blessed for believing the Lord, it's not actually the only thing that she's saying. See, Elizabeth is applying this to herself as well. Who have we seen so far in Luke 1 who has believed what the Lord has said to them? Both Mary and Elizabeth. As Rog highlighted for us last week, Luke 1, 24 to 25 is really significant because Elizabeth's response to her miraculous pregnancy is not the same as Zechariah's. Where Zechariah doubted the word of the Lord, verse 18, and asked, "How shall I know this?" Elizabeth responded to the word of the Lord with faith, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me," verse 25. Elizabeth is blessed as well as Mary and delighting because she believed there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. The other reason that Elizabeth is delighted at the presence of Mary is because of what she says in verse 43. Elizabeth is delighted at the presence of Mary because she wonders, "Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" We're going to turn to talk about the significance of Mary in just a minute or two. But before we do that, I want us to just pause and dwell on how Elizabeth refers to Jesus. Elizabeth refers to Jesus, who is still in the womb of his mother, who is still yet to draw a single breath, as her Lord. Can you imagine such a thing? I was holding little baby Theo Barry the other day, who is very cute. And even in spite of his cuteness, I couldn't imagine referring to him as Lord. But to refer to an unborn child as your Lord. Here we have a baby in the womb of an unassuming virgin woman, not being born into wealth or power or privilege, but being born to someone who's effectively a nobody from a town of nowhere. And yet, Elizabeth sees with the eyes of faith, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that this child will be her Lord. And she is blessed because she believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken by the Lord. And so Elizabeth delights at the presence of Mary and the proximity of Jesus, because her Lord has come, even in his mother's womb, to visit her. Elizabeth's delight is fueled by believing that the Lord will fulfill what he has said. That's really significant for us, and we'll talk about it a little later on. First, though, we need to talk about the significance of Mary, Mary's response of delight, and the significance of the child in her womb. We're going to do those three things with the help of our second heading, Mary's response of delight, verses 46 to 56. So firstly, let's talk about the significance of Mary. Let me just reread verses 46 to 49 for us. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Over the years, some other Christian traditions, most notably the Roman Catholics, but some others as well, have made much of Mary. And it's out of passages like this one and the one from last week that they've done it. In our passage this morning, Mary is referred to as blessed three times. Verse 42, Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you among women." Verse 45, "And blessed is she who believed." Verse 48, "From now on, all generations will call me blessed." Combine that with what Gabriel said in the previous passage, verse 28, "Greetings, O favoured one, the Lord is with you." And again, verse 30, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God." From these verses, and from some other passages as well, some other traditions have built up the significance of Mary, the mother of the Lord. Whilst the Roman Catholic Church would stringently deny that they worship Mary, they have come to teach that Mary is a fount of grace to whom sinners can appeal for grace, and she would give it to them. You may well have heard of the Hail Mary prayer said by Roman Catholics, which is an appeal to Mary, full of grace, to intercede for sinners now and at the time of their death. There are a few different problems with this, but one of the big problems with this understanding of Mary is it's not actually in line with how Gabriel speaks of Mary or even how Mary thinks of herself. Firstly, if you look back at verses 30 to 36, you'll see that whilst Gabriel does refer to Mary as favoured twice, the vast majority of what he says is actually about the significance of Mary's son, Jesus. "He will be great, called Son of the Most High. He will be given the throne of David," verse 32. "He will rule over Jacob. There will be no end to his kingdom," verse 33. "He will be called Holy, the Son of God," verse 35. By far, the emphasis from Gabriel is on the significance of Jesus, not Mary. Secondly, Mary thinks of herself rightly as one of humble estate who is a servant of God, but is herself in need of a saviour. Mary sees herself and recognises that she is no one from the town of Nazareth, which is nowhere really. She's not numbered among the great and the good. She isn't a servant in the temple or an empress in the palace. She's not a person of extraordinary wealth or anything like that. She's just a virgin girl, betrothed to a carpenter, who humbly commits herself to serve God. The thing that should really astound us is that this is the person that God would use to bring the Saviour into the world. A humble nobody from nowhere became the mother of our Lord and Saviour. The long-awaited Davidic king was to be born to a normal virgin girl. The great shock is that someone so significant would be born to someone so seemingly insignificant in such an inauspicious place. But God is used to doing these kind of great reversals. And we see a number of them in our passage, though we won't get time to dwell on them. How can someone so small have a baby so significant? And yet, God has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. Verse 52. We must also notice who it is that Mary is rejoicing in. Again, Mary is not pointing to herself, but is instead pointing her praise to God and rejoicing in her Saviour. Luke 1, 46 and 47 says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour." Mary is someone who has been shown extraordinary grace. She has received blessing and grace. She's not a dispenser of it. Mary herself needs a Saviour and acknowledges that she needs a Saviour and is rejoicing that God has seen fit to provide one. She rejoices with awe and wonder. Her soul magnifies the Lord. Her spirit rejoices in her Saviour. She is delighting that God has provided a Saviour for her and his people. And it is through her that this Saviour would be brought into the world. Mary is not a special figure, but is instead someone who is recognizing that she needs a Saviour and Jesus is her Saviour. And so that is who she's pointing to, and that is who she is delighting in. But seeing Mary rightly is also recognizing that Mary is a positive example of faith for us. Look at her response in verse 38 and again in verse 45, how she's described in verse 45. Verse 38 reads, "And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.'" And again, Luke 1:45 says, "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Mary willingly gives herself to the service of the Lord. Mary is delighted that God has promised that a Saviour will come and that she will have a part in bringing him forth. But we do need to recognise that actually things get quite a lot harder for Mary in this process. Being unmarried and pregnant, she risks being ostracised from her people and her family. She has to face her fiancé and convince him that this is a miraculous pregnancy, though an angel will help with that. She has to go through pregnancy with morning sickness and everything else that that entails, not to mention the pain of childbirth. And yet, she willingly gives herself to the service of the Lord and delights in it. Why? Because she believed that the Lord would bring fulfillment of what he had said. She believed that through her, God was bringing a Saviour to the world. And so she was willing to be his servant. And so delighted. I took great pains earlier to suggest that verse 45 didn't just apply to Mary. And that is true, because Mary is not a unique example of faith in this passage. Both Mary and Elizabeth are examples of faith for us because they trusted that God would bring fulfillment to everything that he had said. That was the source of their delight, a resolute trust that God would fulfill all that he had said. Mary and Elizabeth believed, as Israel ought to have believed, that God's Saviour was coming. Continuing on through the rest of Mary's response of delight, I just want to highlight the completed nature of everything that Mary says. Let's read again verses 49 to 55. "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. It's interesting. Jesus hasn't been born yet. He hasn't drawn breath yet. And yet Mary speaks of each of these things as though God has already accomplished them. God has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud. He has brought down the mighty and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of mercy. Reversal after reversal after reversal. All completed. How is it that Mary can speak as though God has done these things already? Because Mary believes that there would be a fulfillment of everything that was spoken to her from the Lord. And as we see from verses 54 and 55, Mary saw Jesus as a fulfillment of all that God had promised to Abraham and to her fathers. She also saw him as God acting in remembrance of his mercy to his people. That is the significance of this child that would be born. God had promised that a child would be born who would rule forever on the throne of David and would save his people from their sins. Mary heard and believed, which is why she could speak of these things as complete, even though Jesus hasn't drawn breath yet. This child was to bring the people back to God. And that is what Christians celebrate at Christmas time. That Jesus was born into the world to save us from our sins, to make us right with God, to give us hope. That's what Mary believed Jesus was going to do. Jesus was going to die to save us from all the things we've done wrong and to make us right with God, to save us from our sins. But then he would rise to new life, to give us hope of new life to everyone who would believe in him. And that is the significance of this child. But there's even more than that, because God's word says that Jesus is coming back. God's word says that one day Jesus will return, and when he does, there will be no more pain, no more sickness, no more sorrow, and no more death. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and we will know a real joy and delight as we see him face to face. And that can be a real source of hope and joy and delight this Christmas time. We've seen God do this once in the world, in his word, when he promised Israel a saviour would come. And God brought that in fulfillment in Jesus. We now hang on to a promise that Jesus will return. And the challenge for us is to hold on to the belief that Jesus will bring that to fulfillment, that God will bring that to fulfillment. Because if I can paraphrase, blessed are those who believe that God will bring to fulfillment all that he has said in his word. And that can be a real source of hope, joy, and delight this Advent. For those that find Christmas is a time that really brings out the grumpy Scrooge in us, embrace the joy and delight of the season, knowing that God has promised salvation to those who believe and new life with him. Put our hope in that and delight in the promise that he will return to make all things new. For those for whom Christmas is a time of real pain and hurt and sorrow, fix your eyes upon Christ, knowing that he will bring about all that he has promised. Believe for certainty that one day he will return and will wipe away every tear and bring an end to every pain. Set your hope upon him, knowing for certain that he has saved you. He will save you, and he will bring comfort to you. We must look for our hope and our delight this Christmas time, not in having the perfect Christmas, but in believing that God will bring to fulfillment all that he has said. That's where Mary and Elizabeth found their delight. And that's where we must put our hope. God sent his son to die on a cross to save us from our sin. That gives us hope. And so we can delight in him. But Jesus is also coming back. And when he does, there will be no more pain or sickness or sorrow or death. And if you can believe that Jesus died for your sins, rose to new life, and will one day return to bring an end to all pain, suffering and sin, then that will be your real source of hope, joy and delight this Christmas time. Because after all, that is what Christmas points to. So the question is, can you believe that? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you to give thanks for the birth of Jesus. We give you thanks for the model of faith of Elizabeth and Mary, who believed that you would fulfill everything that you had promised in your word. Thank you for your faithfulness in sending your son and fulfilling what you had promised. Help us, Lord, to believe that you will bring about all that you have promised to us in your word. Help us to believe that Jesus will return, that we will see him face to face, and all pain and sorrow will end. Help us to trust in you and to delight in your gospel hope this Christmas time. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.